Ever notice how popular the lottery is? Years ago, I tried to help God out by buying a lottery ticket. Of course, as I pondered it and thought about it, I thought, well, maybe God would bless me that way. If God wanted to bless me that way, I don't think he'd have any problem getting me the ticket in the first place. And so I don't know as I'd recommend it highly. One thing you don't have to gamble on, though, and as A.J. read, I was reminded again, is God's promises. The Lord doesn't say, come and take a chance on me with your life eternally. No, God promises to each of us that we can come to him. And in him we can find rest for our souls, peace in our hearts, and purpose for the way we live. It's not a gamble. That's a sure thing. That's a certainty, as they say. It's why God gave us the promise in Romans 8 that all things work together for good for those who love God. If you love God, everything happening in your life is working together for good. That's God's realm. That's God's realm, and we are part of it. As a matter of fact, if you're going through struggles, if you're dealing with pressures in this life, or you're wrestling with the issues around you, you should relate to what Paul has been talking about in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. Paul has used the nation of Israel to illustrate how God is faithful, even when we're not. Even when we can't trust ourselves, we can trust an all-faithful God. So how can we know God is faithful? How can we know he's faithful, especially when we're not? In our passage today, we have a great example of an undeserving, disobedient, rebellious people. The nation of Israel is documented very, very well. Consider Paul's words over these last three chapters as we review the outline. In chapter 9, we considered God's dealing with Israel's history and how throughout that history he took care of them. In chapter 10, we saw God deal with Israel in the present tense when Paul wrote this, and we see fairness, we see equity for all people, not just Israel. And in chapter 11 today, we catch a peek of God's future dealing with Israel, how his integrity, how he has integrity to his promise. He never doesn't come through with his word. In short, God made those promises to the nation of Israel, and he has and he will fulfill them. Even though they've messed up, even though they've blown it, God has promised to see Israel through based on his integrity, based on his faithfulness. Thankfully, not based on theirs. The passage has amazing implications for us as Gentiles. We're offered God's salvation plan through Jesus Christ because Israel rejected him. It's nothing we earn. God provided it for us through his grace. Remember God's promise in Philippians 1:6. God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished. So we're finishing today with these three chapters of Romans. As Paul has dealt with the roles of the Jewish nation and the roles of us as Gentiles. And he's going to talk a little bit about the future as well. We should take comfort in all that he says. The implications speak to themselves. And I will say, these three chapters are probably some of the heaviest. I mean, Romans is one of the heaviest books in all the Bible. And these three chapters that we're just completing today probably are some of the toughest passages to talk about and to preach about. I was talking to someone earlier and they shared how the study in this passage has just caused them to think a lot. And it should for all of us. Romans 11, 1a, the first part of the first verse. I ask you then, has God rejected his own people, the nation of Israel? Of course not. Even though Jewish history screams out to us with their constant rebellion, God is true to his promises to them. Even though the majority of Israel has rebelled, there's a remnant to them, a remnant that will be saved. If you've ever read the Bible from start to finish, how many of you have done that before? Have read the whole Bible? A few of you. Yeah, it's a long book. You can't help but notice how even though Israel messes up so much, God's love and grace in their lives is just, it's almost unbelievable. Actually, and I've read through the Bible on a number of occasions, and always causes me to think about how short, how impatient I have been with my family. Especially when the kids were growing up, my fuse was rather short. I think how God is so gracious and patient with us. And in Israel's case, even though he hasn't rejected them, even though they've misbehaved, he is still for them. He still loves them. He's still with them. And we can reflect that back in our life. Romans chapter 11, 1b through 3, Paul talks about himself. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. No, God has not rejected his own people, whom he chose from the very beginning. Do you realize what the scripture says about this? Elijah, the prophet, complained to God about the people of Israel and said, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The prophet Elijah had just experienced a major victory over the prophet of Baal. You might be familiar with that story in the Old Testament. And what was his immediate reward for protecting Israel, for dealing with that problem? He faced threats. He had challenges from people wanting to kill him. Elijah was not just frustrated, he was depressed. And worse yet, he was lonely. He felt really lonely. God responds telling Elijah about the reality, about the hope that was there, that he just couldn't see. Romans 11:4, and do you remember God's reply? He said, no. I have 7,000 others who have never bowed down to Baal. Elijah wasn't aware that God was working around him, much like we often aren't. Elijah wasn't alone at all. There were other faithful ones all around him. Paul reminds us that even in our day, even though we get discouraged, God is at work. God is at work in our lives, and through his grace, he's pursuing his plan of salvation. God is very active in our lives. Romans 11, 5 through 6. It is the same today, for a few of the people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace, his undeserved kindness in choosing them. And since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works, for in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. God is in charge. As he works through the hearts of mankind, he does it out of his choices and not the efforts they make, or not the efforts we make. God's grace in our life, it's like we have to say it over and over again for good reason, is undeserved. But when you've experienced it, when you've experienced God's grace in your life, it's like almost overwhelming when you think about it. Romans 11, 7. So this is the situation. Most of the people of Israel have not found the favor of God they are looking for so earnestly, and we know how hard they worked at it. They had so many rules, it was endless. But a few have, the ones God has chosen. But the hearts of the rest were hardened. Paul goes on to quote Old Testament scripture about the state of the heart of Israel. It's not too different than our day. Has Israel burned bridges with God? Have they gone too far? Maybe more important to us, have we as a people gone too far? In our day, have we burned bridges? Have we done things that God is just fed up with? Enough with the patience. Listen to what Paul says about God's strategy. Romans 11, verses 11 and 12. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. They were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles. But he wanted his own people to become jealous and to claim it for themselves. Now, if the Gentiles were enriched because the people of Israel turned down God's offer of salvation, think how much greater the blessing the world will share when they finally accept it. Wow, what an awesome thing for us as Gentiles. we get salvation offered to us. I'm endlessly amazed at how God uses our mistakes and our messes. And we see an example here of the people's rebellion and rejection. We see how God still works through it. And for us as Gentiles, that works out well. God not only reached out to the rest of the world, but also, even in the middle of that, he has not rejected his own people, the people he chose. Paul now introduces an analogy about Israel's rich heritage, about their ancestral family tree that begins with Abraham. The Apostle Paul wants you and I, as Gentiles, to appreciate the undeserved benefits we're now able to experience and even be entitled to, Romans 11:17. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. It's such an awesome thing. And it's interesting to me how Paul continues to repeat himself about that we should not be proud. We need to understand it is a free gift. Nothing we could do can make God love us more or can make him love us less. But Paul knows our weaknesses. He knows who we are. I suspect he knows that because he knows himself. So he gives us a warning. He gives us these instructions. In verses 18 through 21, but you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. Well, you may say those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you are there because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the original branches, he won't spare you either. If you're playing games with God, God knows. God's a God of justice. These verses are exciting and they're sobering at the same time. But just in case you don't get the full force of the Apostle Paul's words, with his strong words to us Gentiles, to avoid being proud, I'm reminded at this point of having a healthy, reverent fear of God. Sometimes we can get so buddy-buddy with him. Sometimes we can focus on his unending love so much, we think we can get away with anything. Verses 22 and 23, notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe towards those who disobeyed, but kind to you if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you also will be cut off. And if the people of Israel turn from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again. For God has the power to graft them back into the tree. We go back to that issue. God is God and we are not. We might not be able to comprehend what on earth he's doing. His loving kindness, his grace, it's amazing. Israel still has an opportunity. They still have an opportunity to be brought back into the family of God, to be grafted into that tree. Now we get into some prophetic words by Paul here. I didn't catch them at first, and I wasn't aware of them before I started studying this passage. But from my reading of this passage, it sounds like there's a specific number of Gentiles that will be saved. And then there's a great revival that will come out of Jerusalem just before the return of Jesus Christ. Paul will use the word mystery, and that's because we don't have all the details at all. But the words are pretty clear. Listen as I read verses 25 through 27. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourself. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles come to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved. As the scripture says, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. And this is my covenant with him, that I will take away their sins. You can see how it's kind of subtle in those verses. But God has not forgotten his people. He will keep his word to them as he will for us. If you're interested in signs of end times, and I know some people are, these little hidden markers like we just read about, there's clues to the end times. Today we can see God at work as things appear to be coming together. And if you're like me, you can't help feel that happening. You can't help feel that our days are not numbered. They're counting down. We need to be ready. Our family and friends need to be ready. Paul concludes, as he summarizes his words of encouragement and truth in these final few verses in 28 through 31. Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you Gentiles. Yet they are still the people he loves, because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the people of Israel rebelled against him, God was merciful to you instead. Now they are rebels, and God's mercy has come to you so that they too will share in God's mercy. I admit, this is hard passages. These three chapters have been very challenging for me to present them. They would have been much easier to just summarize for you and moved on. But there's a couple things I want you to remember of things we learn. Number one, be thankful our salvation started with Israel and has graciously come to us. Be humble in your status of being part of God's eternal family. And third, be ready. Jesus Christ is coming back. Do you see how, as we look at this passage, we can see God using every part of our life, the good times, the bad times, the times we sin, the times we want to sin. God will take those mistakes and use them for his glory if we let him, if we're not arrogant about it. Somehow he does that. To me, it's miraculous as I've experienced it in my life. It is such a gift for us Gentiles to be grafted into the family tree of God. And if you're not sure where you stand today, if you're not sure if you truly walk with God, come and talk to me. I would like to talk to you about that. And the time is now. I can tell you the clock's ticking. I feel it. Give your life to Jesus Christ now while you can. And if you're not sure, allow me to help you become sure. I'd love to meet with you, to take you on next steps to that. So we finish our bout with doctrine, our heavy doctrine that we've been through in Romans. Next week we start the last five chapters of Romans. We'll go through them a little bit quicker. Chapters 12 through 16 deal with our salvation, how practical our salvation is, in things we can do to live better, to live more pure, to live, to strive to be holy. I think you'll find them not just informative, but you'll find them encouraging and even tangible as we look to live our lives. Paul closes these verses with a benediction, and I want to read it to you because it's rich in itself as he closes this section of Romans, chapters 1 through 11. This is verses 33 through 36. Oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Let me pray. Father, it is hard for us to understand your ways sometimes. To understand, to comprehend how you work through our lives, through our misdeeds, through our mistakes, through our sins. And yet we can see in the nation of Israel, we can see an example of how consistent your love is, how strong your love is, how all-powerful your love is. how firm and how just your love is. Give us wisdom as we live out our days. Give us a deep understanding of our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.